To the first ever episode of the Bastard Sons of Cusack podcast. Where are we coming to them live on digitally encoded MP3 from?
My fucking living room.
His fucking shittiest. It's not quite the ghetto, but it's not far off.
What are you talking about?
Close enough.
Bullshit.
Like, I'm kind of afraid right now.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I'm more scared of you than anyone else that might come along. But
that's actually shit, dude. I mean, I'm an intimidating motherfucker. People say that often.
So why are we the bastard sons of Cusack? And we're not actually bastard sons of John Cusack.
No,
to avoid any lawsuits.
No, I'm a bastard son of somebody entirely different.
That would be kind of sweet, though, huh?
You're right about that. No shit.
John Cusack? What we actually are is the bastard sons of John Cusack film characters, but it just doesn't have the phonetic ring to it.
Yeah.
That one wants in a stupid podcast that no one will ever listen to.
That's true. Yeah, really what it comes down to is that John Cusack is the all-around generic guy, no matter what. In any given situation, you can be represented by John Cusack.
If you're a heterosexual male, there is a movie for you that represents exactly how you feel about the opposite sex if you're a John Cusack movie.
Yeah.
If you're into chicks, you've been represented. Even a fucking kind of a shitty movie like The Ice Storm.
Ice Harvest.
Or The Ice Harvest, yeah, rather, where he's like way into the... I don't know what's her name?
Connie Nielsen?
Connie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Sexy dog. See that one.
Right.
Anyway, so that's... What have we established? I'm Gordon.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, really, I would like to be able to say that I'd be somewhat badass, like, you know, Martin Blank in Gross Point Blank, but...
You're going back on that one.
Yeah, really, it's...
Just kidding, too.
Because, no, it's really because I would love to be, but I'm not that cool.
Well, he wasn't cool.
He was pretty cool.
Well, he was cool in a CIA hitman sort of way.
How was that uncool?
Well, but he was... Well, if we're talking about, though, like, women thing, he was fucked. Six Ways from Sunday. He was
ten years, he had dreams.
Yeah, and about Minnie Driver. I mean, not for nothing.
He got her at the end, though.
No, not for nothing, though, but...
What?
Of all the girls, you need to be...
She was attractive enough. She was a fun person, too.
I'll give you this, and this is kind of a weird thing, because I really dig the chicks with British accents. Minnie Driver, better with the American. Mm-hmm. A little annoying. A little Scottish.
You might be right about that.
What was the name of the chick, the lead singer of Garbage?
Oh, I don't even know her name.
Shirley Manson?
I never knew it.
Oh, okay.
So I can't.
Oh, my God. She was in an interview on, like, MTV to the VMAs or something. She started talking and I wanted to throw up.
Really?
In my mouth.
How'd you do it?
Nice.
Yeah, really, when it comes down to it, I'm just kind of hopeless and sad, so I'm really going to have to go for, like, Jonathan and Serendipity or something lame like that. And I know it sucks. It's that
would be, well, I mean, the only way it could be worse is if you had a Serendipity banner.
Oh. Huh. Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Right behind me. A Serendipity banner? A Flatliners banner.
Got nothing negative to say about the Flatliners banner.
The banner in and of itself is not horrible. It's just a movie that it's supposed to be.
Bullshit, dude. That is 80s gold.
You love Joel Schumacher. Fucking Flatliners, don't you?
I own it. Dude, if I could find, like, a signed copy by Joel Schumacher, I thought that my life would be complete.
He's hackerific.
What? You didn't do that movie, did you?
What?
Hackers? What'd you say?
No, I said he's
a hack. Oh, like hack. Oh, he's a hack. I get it. Yeah.
Try to keep
it's
up.
Funny, yeah.
This moves fast. The Alanis Morissette, My Humps thing.
Gold.
Because you're quite you're the Jagged Little Pill fan, or at least you were.
I am.
You still, to this day?
Yeah, I rock it.
Dude, 10 million people bought that fucking record.
Yeah.
No one will admit to it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, I hated it, but...
It's, horseshit. Anybody that claims that they don't like it now is full of shit.
I never liked it.
Yeah, I mean, there's gotta be people, I believe you, because I know what you're... But Yeah.
I say, I know what you're saying, though. I mean, there is...
Yeah.
And not, and, like, 10 million, and it was just chicks.
Yeah. Lies.
So chicks don't have any money. Unless they stole it.
Yeah, from
a man. You want to hear a joke real quick?
Absolutely.
Women's rights. Oh! Oh, sick burn.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole My Humps thing was gross enough when it was someone who, in a conventional strippery sort of, you know, I paid a buck to see her beaver sense, as Fergie. Oh, she's got a plastic face, dude. Plastic.
Yeah,
I can get it. She's a total butter. She's a triple bagger. A bag for her, a bag for me, and a bag for anyone who has the unfortunate luck of walking past.
You know, actually, we can revert back to the Lance Morissette thing in a minute. I can say that Stacey Ferguson is in Planet Terror in Grindhouse.
Yeah.
And she gets it hardcore. Like, she seriously, she dies in a really
Oh, dies.
Way. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, she doesn't.
I thought you get time. Fucked hardcore. Like,
no,
like,
no,
that's
no.
Just Tuesday.
Yeah, I know that. Who cares? Been there.
But yeah, so, like, it was bad enough. Like, I am definitely a dude who has no problem saying, like, yeah, there's an attractive chick and she's shaking her ass. I mean, that's what MTV is. Periodically, I'll turn it on and mute it. I got no shame.
Yeah, I do a little bit.
There's a sweet ass. There's a stupid fucking Christina Aguilera video on now. It's her new song for her new album.
It's provocative.
It's not it's provocative in, like, the opposite way. Like, it wasn't where, like, it's not the dirty video.
Yeah, that was
where you could see both her hairstyles. It's
classic.
It's like a 40s theme, and she's wearing, like, the Rosie the Riveter and, like, the little blue skirts and shit. And that's hot from, like, a whole naughty direction. But I totally, like, I was getting ready for work this morning, and I flipped past, and I do, like, the morning wake up, and it's just all the newest videos in rotation.
Yeah, I just don't know about any of that.
No, it was fun.
It's
gotta be a horrible song. There's no way it's not.
You don't know? Because it was on mute?
No, I have no idea. Well, there's no way it's not. I mean, I suppose that you can make the argument that she's a good singer, but that's just not my kind of music.
Well, I don't really want to make that argument, because I don't care.
Right.
I don't care how attractive or unattractive she may be.
You're wearing your Christine Aguilera
What?
Out on the streets. She can sing, though.
I never did
Don't
that.
Slam her. No, I'm saying you should.
I should.
You get in the bandwagon.
Nonsense. I hate whores.
You do. I'm a fan of whores. But... Nonetheless, which is, you know, coming back around to the point, that My Humps video made me sick. Sick to the stomach. It's like, never in the history of fuckingdom has a woman or a man referred to an ass as a hump, or tits as lady lumps.
You know, actually, I figured out why it's so disgusting when watching that Alanis Morissette cover. I mean, which, the Alanis Morissette thing, I want to get behind it and say that I think it's hilarious. I think it's a great idea. I'm really glad
it's gotta
it was
be a
done.
Goof,
it's
right?
Gotta be. Yeah. I mean, there's no way that's... I mean, it's... She laughs at the end. It's a joke. It's gotta be.
She's wearing all the same outfits.
But I yeah, that's exactly... That's exactly
and the hairstyle.
How. So, but I decided why it's so disgusting, because the only other time that you associate lumps with breasts are when it comes to cancer. And you know what? No, despite... I mean, I'm into some fucked up humor.
That's good.
Chances are, if you find cancer sexy, there's something really, really wrong with you.
But there's gotta be, no? Gotta be a whole cancer... It's like...
That's interesting.
Here's
I wonder.
Here's our cancerfuckers.com, and they're only, like, super, like, you get those guys...
Chemo.
You get those guys into a convention... And you bring in a chick who's got breast cancer that you can see through clothing from across the street. Just, like, instantly
nice.
Blow a load on their pants.
That,
a fat load.
Is that really tasty? Is that really the noise you want to associate with it? Yeah. Cool.
Did I?
Yeah, okay.
Some of those don't even know when I do it.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's I've decided that
I've never
why
heard anyone say that. It's an interesting point.
It just I came up with it. I just decided I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, you know what? That's the only time that lumps are associated with breasts or
my
when it comes
lovely
to
lady lumps.
Yeah. So that's why I think that just on a subconscious level you should feel instantly ill.
And not for nothing. You know, tits are tits. I've seen better, I've seen worse, but
whatever.
That's the reason that they had her join, no? To get people to buy. They'd only blew
yeah.
up. Yeah, Black Eyed Peas after her.
Right, yeah, they had two records which were way better.
And every
from
song
a musical standpoint
is about like
why don't you turn off your fucking phone?
I was gonna tell you that when I showed up.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Who is it? It's a 415 number. Who's California?
No. Answer it. It's get him on the air.
It's Spielbergo. It's Steve. Watching The Simpsons last night.
Yeah.
That was called A Star Is Burns. And Mr. Burns wants to do a biopic on himself.
Nice.
And he says to get Steven Spielberg, and Smithers says Steven Spielberg is doing something that's his get his non-union Hispanic equivalent. It's Steven Spielbergo.
Nice.
Thought that was fun.
What since it's been a very long
time. So, what is, in fact, periodically, especially when you've been drinking, playing some Tetris like right now,
yeah.
I'll turn to you and say, Josh, what is the best way to shove a cat up your ass? And we'll go round and round. Yeah. I've always thought that ass first, like tail and ass first, and like fold the arms down would be easiest, because then when you get to the head, you're like, oh, that's not so bad.
No, I am all about the head first, for a number of reasons.
Would you like tuck the feet, like the front paws up in front of the head?
No, because because really what it comes down to is I like the idea. I don't even necessarily want the whole cat up there.
You want
just the head. I like the idea of
just the head up there?
Yeah.
Because what I'm thinking is that if you back her in,
yeah, well,
then you got the head sticking out. And then you moon people, and you've got a cat's head sticking out of your asshole.
I also kind of like the idea of shoving them into a sock first, because,
Well, when they're kittens, you can fit a full-grown cat into a sock.
Bullshit, look at I wear size 14 shoe, dude.
Oh, that's right.
I can shove Margo into a sock if I really wanted to. I mean, she wouldn't like it, but she doesn't like being in my ass either. That doesn't stop me.
Fucking Sasquatch. You know?
I'm not. That is not abnormal for a male that's like six feet tall to have a size. Shut up.
If you're a Sasquatch.
Bullshit. Just because you have toddler feet, don't.
These are 11s.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Okay.
Toddler feet? You want to see a fucking toddler with size 11s?
Yeah.
I'm like a stallion, that boy. Which boy? I don't know.
So,
you think you jam a cat into like a Magnum condom first for safety's sake?
I mean
the claws could go through.
I mean, well, yeah. So I mean, it's almost what's
almost
the point? Like, but you also got to ask. I mean, like,
well,
is it your cat? I mean, do you know where the cat's been? That's pretty.
It depends.
There's a lot of variables, my friend.
It would be like, you know, it was the difference between someone who's really promiscuous and like fucks. Well, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, I mean, really.
But it would be like if I shoved Margo. Josh's cat's name is Margo. Bitch, the whore.
Ass, that's not true at
but,
all.
But if I was to shove her up my ass, the reason I put a condom around her is I'd be more concerned for her catching something. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm just like, I'm a VD farm. I saw Paris Hilton in person once and it just jumped over to me.
Yeah,
dirty cunt. Oh, I hate her.
Yeah.
Hate her.
I'm behind you on that.
Hate her. Wouldn't feel bad at all. Well, that doesn't seem. I was gonna say like I wouldn't feel bad if she died. That's true for
a
just
lot
about
of
anyone I don't know.
Right. Except for Anna Nicole. I'm hoping they're gonna find out soon.
What?
You know, like, I want to know who the baby's father was.
Oh,
and
great.
I want all of it. I'm really.
I was watching.
It.
Josh and I used to live together. Now he lives alone in an apartment because he's a curmudgeon. And I live with two new roommates, James and Amy. And Amy, I was getting in the kitchen making dinner or something, and Amy was watching the fucking news, dude. CNN, headline news. And they came on breaking news and said what Anna Nicole Smith died of. I literally put my hands in the air and said, finally the saga is fucking over. Not a millisecond after I had said that, I think it was like, so I go, oh, fucking yes, rock on, the fucking saga is over. And then the chick on the news goes, but the saga is not over yet. It was like a movie moment.
Yes.
And I was just like, fucking, oh.
So,
who cares? Could not care any less.
Does Amy hear about that stuff? Like, I don't know Amy.
No, Amy was just watching the news.
Okay.
And it happened to come on. Like, Amy watches, like, like flip this house and designer home makeover. Oh. But all girls watch. I mean, 26 years old who like as a nurse.
Yeah, you totally. Can,
but I don't know. Never any like tabloid shit.
Oh, well, that's good.
Like she didn't really seem to care either way. Like she definitely didn't take as hard a stand as I did because most people don't.
Yeah.
But Anna Nicole was another.
Yeah.
Useless kind of.
So last night I was out with some friends. I went out with Amanda and Melissa, mm-hmm. a couple friends of mine. In any case, I tried to persuade them about the whole unsweetened, non-sweetened iced tea ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't on board. They did not care, even a little bit.
That's fucking retarded. It makes sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to feel you on this, but. I mean, yeah, unsweetened.
It's true.
It doesn't make sense because that would suggest
I
that it hasn't.
We used to frequent Denny's 3-4 in the morning, get a little bit of breakfast. I would always get a tea that happened to be iced, and I would prefer that when it came to me, it would not be previously sweetened because I don't drink sugar, so I drink sweetened low. And I was like the rest of you. I was just like the fucking flock, and I always said unsweetened. But what is the connotation on unsweetened is that it used to be sweetened, and then you like de-sweetenized it somehow.
Yeah.
Which is a physical impossibility.
Well, see, that was the argument.
It's non-sweetened.
The argument that they tried to throw at me was like, well, no, it's not. The general terminology isn't de-sweetened. Which, I mean, that's true because
that's true.
Blatant. But it's still.
It's still close enough.
Yeah, I mean. I still want to consider it a grammatical error.
Well, let's think of some other examples. If you're on...
I mean... Jesus, yeah, I guess it's a... The only ones coming to mind is unprotected sex.
Unprotected. Well, that doesn't even really work, because it was never there.
Yeah.
It just works. Like, don't ask me why. Unsweetened... means, like, the connotation definitely is there, that it used to be sweet, and
maybe,
now it's gone.
Yeah, maybe?
Oh. It should be non-sweet.
Yeah, but maybe we have a definition of on.
I don't know.
Because maybe it's just the actual definition.
Okay, here's a good one. If you were to take what's keeping your computer running right now,
uh-huh.
the plug, if you were to unplug it.
It
used to be plugged in,
right,
you have
okay.
changed that in a way. So on, like, if you're unmarried, it doesn't necessarily mean that you were divorced.
Right.
So it can go back and forth.
Yeah, I mean...
I think we should go ahead and stick with the, fuck unsweetened, it's non-sweetened.
Yeah, because just, fuck them. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, they said they didn't bend.
No, it was more, actually, I just kind of got a blank stare.
How often does that happen to you? At least twice a day?
When talking to myself?
When talking to your cat? Martin's like, you're a fucking dimwit.
Yeah, that's... Well... we haven't quite gotten to the point where she's answering me yet.
She's
but,
just like, look, I'm trying to sleep. You don't make any sense anyway. Go away.
Yeah, no, actually, you'd be surprised. The company that I keep is usually game for this kind of bullshit. I mean, I'm surprised.
I know I'm not. I don't know what I'm doing here.
You love it.
Like, I can't take this anymore. There was a point, like, we haven't seen each other in about a week. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Those two and a half weeks. And, but there was a point where we were getting a Comstock, and it wasn't like I was tired of listening to you. It really had nothing to do with that. I was tired of our interaction, because neither of us had steady jobs, and that's all we did. Is this, right now. He'd be playing some Tetris, I'd be sitting on the couch bitching about something. He'd chime in every once in a while.
Sometimes
he'd be drunk. Usually.
Not very often.
Usually he'd be drunk.
That's not true.
Drunk on your own self-loathing.
Well, that's warranted.
Both call a spade a spade.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Actually, you know, call a spade, is that a racist thing?
I don't know.
There was an episode of SNL when Quentin Tarantino was on there and did, like, a fake, like, panel of directors, and Spike Lee was there. You know his and Spike Lee's, you know, nigger argument.
Yeah,
like, he uses it too much. Spike Lee was like, I think the quote was, does he want to be an honorary black man? And Quentin Tarantino was like, look, I'm having black actors say it.
Right.
And, like, I'm not a fan, necessarily, of everyone that's in my scripts. It's just sort of how people talk.
Right.
But at a certain point, they were doing, like, a round table discussion. And at a certain point, the real Quentin Tarantino was hosting SNL. He said, alright, that's bullshit, let's call a spade, and then he leaned over and said, excuse me, Spike.
Nice.
So that was the first time I really was like, could that be,
Yeah. I don't know.
I can just pick it up. Yeah. Well, that was the first time I was really like, can that be a racial, like, derogatory?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to Wikipedia it.
I don't know.
I'll jump on that.
Do it later. Find out. The one I think is really funny, and actually I was watching, That Thing You Do. And I've never really thought about it before. It's a very quaint 50s thing. There's a lot of truly evil bullshit that came out of the quaintness of the 50s.
Yeah, of course.
But when the song is on the radio for the first time, their big song, and they're dancing around the appliance store.
Yeah.
And what is his name? Steve?
Steve Zahn?
Steve Zahn picks up the display of the chick and is dancing with her.
Yeah.
The father says, will you get your cotton picking hands off of that?
Nice.
No one really puts that together.
It's
very quaint.
I used to.
I mean, I knew it before, but like that's just more recent. Is like, what else would cotton picking hands be?
I mean, I like it actually, and I've used that towards. I've used that towards a black friend from time to time.
Herbie?
Oh yeah, Herbie. Herbie is our self-loathing black friend.
Truly self-loathing.
Yeah,
I was talking to James. Like, James and I wrote people into these racial discussions. James Black. But I was talking to him about that, you know, all the racial bullshit. We were up until, like, midnight and going back and forth can be funny and serious. But he was talking about that.
Herbie? Or just self-hating black men in general?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Well, I haven't talked to him about this, so I don't want to go into too much of the conversation, but at a certain point, this is a kind of funny point, he was talking about, I think, the real world, and there was a gay dude and a black dude having an argument, and at a certain point, the gay dude said the dreaded word, because he just had nothing else to say.
Right.
And it was so retarded, because, like, why does he have to be nigger, as opposed to just two men having a conversation.
Right.
And I think James said that the black guy didn't even call him like a faggot. I mean, it was
nice.
Just... So that's just like your goat. And if you yell it in the fit of anger, you must have been thinking it long before that.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's just such a fucking tell-all. And like the black guy was pissed and like wouldn't talk. I can't really say I blame him. But that kind of got me... I don't think there's anything that James could say to me, him being black, me being white,
right.
A single word...
Yeah.
That would make me like, I don't ever want to fucking talk to you again. Like, he'd be like, you know, I fucked your mother and left her in the gutter, and then I call my mother and she's like, some random black man just raped me and left me in a gutter. Oh, I'd be pissed. But there was nothing, like,
yeah,
he couldn't
there'd be a process.
Say a word to me.
Right.
That would really, it's just a weird thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it for a long time. Like, even if he called me, like, faggot or... I'm not gay, so that wouldn't really affect me. So I don't know. Cracker? Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
I love it. If a black man calls me a cracker, I feel it just made my fucking day.
Yeah, you laugh it up. I mean, that's awesome.
That's kind of shitty.
Yeah, huh.
Don't really know how to rectify that, but...
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I'm going to change the world in this podcast.
That's true. One day at a time.
So is there no, like, thing you did... as a shitty little kid, like you didn't know it was wrong until you were corrected, like saying a word or,
I mean
there probably was.
Yeah, I mean I'm sure there was. I mean I'm sure that I mean there were a few times that of course you know did you know I seem to remember using profanity, but
you
it was
hear
only
a word
of,
and you repeat
because,
it.
Yeah, I was just copying it, but
there was that too. Like my grandmother tells a story that I was 2 years old and I was my dad was talking to her on her in front of her house in New Jersey. And the window was open a little bit, but the door was locked. And I was standing on the driver's side door, head peeking out the window. Or maybe he was just running in to get something. But either way, they were standing on the... I guess I got frustrated because they were standing there for so long. And I shouted, will someone let me out of the goddamn car?
Nice.
Two.
Awesome.
Two. But that's the thing. That was funny at the time.
Yeah.
The two really bad ones are... My cousin... it's not a secret. I don't give a shit. He's adopted. My cousin David.
Oh.
And he's the second oldest cousin to me.
Okay.
So, you know, he's got a brother too, so they, you know, he was adopted by my aunt and uncle, and then they had my cousin, Billy. but they moved to Florida before we did, and then we came down, and their mother works full-time. My mother worked at our school, so the school that we all went to, all four cousins, my brother, I, and I believe David, my brother Justin, and we would, she would bring us to our house, and, you know, so we could all play together. We had a pool, hang out and shit.
Right.
And my aunt would come after work and pick my cousins up, because they lived down the road. So at a certain point, I guess whenever, I think David knew he was adopted pretty much from, I don't know exactly what
how
age
old is, how old is he when he was adopted?
I don't, I think he was newborn.
Oh, okay.
But we were, I had to be like 5 or 6 at the most. And he already knew, because I knew, obviously. Right. But, you know, shitty little kid bullshit. And, like, I guess I knew it could have been hurtful, but, like, you don't really think about it. We were having a fucking argument, and I think I said something to the effect of, it doesn't matter because you're not part of our family anyway.
Yes.
Didn't really think about it. I'm sure he was saying some shitty things to me, but nothing anywhere near that. Like, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because, like, still to this day, I think about it a couple times, and I get a chill. Like,
that's because it's fucked up.
How fucked up. Like, 6 years old, he's my age, I think. Or yeah. He is my age currently. I think he's, like, 6 months younger than me. But I said that, and then I remember, like, it got into, like, a physical fight between the four. We used to fight all the time.
Okay.
Punching faces and shit. My mother broke us up. She said, what is that all about? And I like, me being all shitty, you know, shitty little kid syndrome, told her what the argument was about, and then told her what I said.
Oh.
The white, or the color dropped out of her fucking face. And she said, you go apologize this instant. And I think the words she used, exactly, my mother doesn't really curse, or say anything even slightly tawdry, was, are you insane? You're going to screw him up for life. And I didn't, like, understand, really, but I went to apologize. And when I got to be a little older, for whatever reason, because we spent years and years and years every afternoon together, I don't remember any of it, except for that. And for some reason, I fucking remember that. Throwing that back. Oh, what a horrible thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Wow, that's really hats off. Up. I mean, I've said some pretty fucked up things to people, but
that's bad.
Never
that is really bad.
Never something that instantly malicious.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, wow. I would never imagine doing that as an adult.
Yeah.
Especially something I knew about someone that could hurt them.
Yeah.
That's not true. Someone that I care about.
Right.
So I don't know. That's always sort of haunted me. And that's what I mean, is like a shitty kid. Like, I kind of knew.
Right.
Maybe that it was, I must have known because I used it against him, but I don't think I knew or couldn't have known, like, how detrimental that could be if it was the sort of thing that, I don't even think he remembers it. I'm not going to bring it up.
I think you should.
Hey, remember that when I told you you were part of our family?
Yeah, I still believe it. I think that's how you should.
Yeah. That might be the worst thing I've ever said to somebody.
Huh.
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
One time I knew that someone who was dating one of my brother's friends, was, do you remember this?
I think I might have heard this.
Do you remember this? She was a fucking cunt. Oh, cunt triplicate, dude. Oh, I fucking hated her so much. And so did everybody else. And this is what pisses me off, is everybody pussied out when I finally said something. But I think we were all at Denny's, surprise, surprise. We were like 18, 19, whatever. Hanging out late, had drinking coffee. And she was there, and she said something about, I was already in a pissy mood, and she was being a cunt. She is a cunt. That's just, she couldn't help it. I think her name was Rachel, by the way.
Yeah,
well, I hope she does. I can't remember her last name, but I hope she hears this, because I fucking hate her. But to this day, she was probably one of the shittiest people I've ever encountered. Was just like a sympathy whore, and no matter what you said to her, her shit was worse, and an attention whore in the same way. And she was one of those people who, like, take other people, like, co-opt other people's pain as part of their identity.
Right.
So, like,
she's
super sympathetic, but not in, like, a, I want to make you feel better way, but it's like, if I hone in on your tragedy, I'll get a little bit of attention, too.
Right.
So she was just, oh, God. But it was pretty, fairly common knowledge that she had herpes. She was, like, 17, had contracted herpes from the litany of just fucking, who knows. I don't know. She could have blown Mr. Ed, for all I know. I wouldn't be surprised. And be like, that bitch blew Mr. Ed. I'd be like, well, what are you gonna do? But, so it was fairly common knowledge. And, I don't know. My brother wasn't there, which is weird that I was. But a couple of his friends, I think one or two of mine, and her and the boy, the guy that she used to date, named Sean, We didn't even date her anymore, so I don't know why he's there before. But she said something, like, I had been calling my ex-girlfriend a beast at that point. And she was. She sucked. And I broke up with her. For whatever reason, Rachel was getting on my fucking nerves. And at a certain point, she said that, like, said something about the beast. And I said, loud enough for everyone to hear, mind you. We were at one of those, like, booth tables where the tray can go up, so it turns two tables into one.
Right.
So there was, like, 10 or 11 people. Is that she may have been a beast, but at least she was. She's not a disease-ridden cunt.
That's awesome.
And things came to a screeching halt on my side of the table. Her side of the table, they pretty much didn't hear. I think one or two of them did, but it was an uncomfortable situation, I'm sure, for them. So they tried to move on. And Mike, one of my brother's friends who was there, said, look, gave me the look, the shocked look, mouth agape.
Yeah.
I said, you are so lucky she didn't fucking hear that. And I repeated it. I said, hear what? And I said it again louder. And so things on this side of the table came to a screeching halt. And then I think somebody said to me, that's really wrong. And I said, go fuck yourself. And I was the only one who had ordered a meal. So my fucking chicken salad came or whatever. And I remember starting to eat it. And no one said anything for the entire time I was eating, but nobody left either.
Yes.
So they just had to bathe in it, and I honestly did not give a fuck. I was fine. Like, I understood that probably people were uncomfortable.
Yeah, that kind of
sucks. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I think that's the only time I've had an entire room full of people angry with me for something I've said.
Yeah. Jesus.
In the moment. Like, I think I've said things maybe that got around. But as soon as I said it, like, not even angry, but just, like, angry that I said it, because everybody fucking hated her. That's what I hated, was that nobody would cowboy up and be like, yeah, I fucking hate you too, you're a bitch, nobody likes you. But, everybody else just,
oh, I got a good one.
Upset that I had said it, and uncomfortable that I had ruined the Denny's experience.
Oh, fuck the Denny's experience. Yeah, actually, okay, I'm sure I mentioned this to you when I got back, I don't know, in Alabama, when I was working on a horror movie, actually come out July 31st.
What's it? When you were working on it, it was called Stickville.
Yeah, now it's called Bloodlines. Think Films bought it and changed the title. For
what
DVD
is the,
distribution.
What is the website? Check it out.
I don't know if it's still StickvilleMovie.com or if they changed it to BloodlinesMovie.com.
We'll try both of the Stickville, Stickville. Movie.com and Bloodlines.com. And if ThinkFilm happened to hear this, how about some free DVDs?
Yeah, no shit. The fucking crew made $150.
Homeboy worked on it.
Yeah.
You can't get a free DVD out of
Seriously. Fucker. Like, that is absolutely true. As the script supervisor, I made $150
a
week.
That's close enough to above the line.
That is actually as close to above the line
as
you
can get
without
just
being.
That's right there.
So, in any case, working on this movie, shitty movie, doesn't matter, unwatchable. Think Films, I don't know what you're thinking. Fine, never. But, in any case, moving on.
I still want a free DVD, though.
Yeah, I still want a free
DVD. Don't pay attention to this curmudgeon.
So, in any case, the way that the whole thing went down is I ended up getting the job very, very abruptly and didn't get to read the script before I went, right?
Which for you film people there is a very important. The script supervisor basically follows continuity, so if a motherfucker walks into a room holding a cup in his right hand, he's got to leave. Unless he sets it down, he's got to leave in his right hand, too.
Right.
And he also, pay attention to screen movement, left
Everything.
To right.
Yeah, pretty much any continuity that takes place.
And also,
within cutting as well.
And then also making sure that you've gotten all your story beats, too.
Exactly.
So it cuts together and it makes sense plot-wise.
Essentially, I needed to know the script as well, if not better, than the director.
Basically memorized.
Yeah, and so...
And what did you have, 24 hours?
No. I got the call at 6 p.m., was in the car by 10 p.m. in Alabama. By 5 a.m. we began shooting, and I had a script handed to me at 8 a.m. And we were working like 14-hour days, so 16-hour days. So I actually didn't get to finish reading the script until about day 3 of production. That's when I found out that the film had some questionable content for me. As you may notice, I'm cool with profanity, that sort of thing. I'm down. Certain levels of vulgarity just don't do it for me. and more specifically, rape scenes, and even in horror films, just, I'm not a real big fan of. I always said, we weren't making Boys Don't Cry, we were not changing the world with this film, and to have gratuitous rape scenes that were supposedly kind of, I don't know, I think it was just very exploitive.
I mean, you're a fan of the High Plains Drifter rape scene. That's gratuitous.
Yeah, but you know what? That's because he fucking rapes her until she likes it.
Anybody who has not seen High Plains Drifter, it's a great Clint Eastwood movie. Western, go out and fucking rent it or buy it, because there's a certain scene at a certain point where he's walking through the town, a dusty, like, ghost town, and a fucking woman, what, she says something to insult him.
Yeah, so
he can't remember what it is. So he grabs her, drags her by the hair, I believe.
Yeah, into a barn.
Tosses her into a barn and begins raping her, and at first she's struggling back, but then she likes it by the end. She's like, you know, what's your number? Or the Western equivalent.
Yeah, essentially, so,
And, wow.
I mean, I would actually almost trade my bastard badge of, you know, John Cusack if I could be a bastard son of Clint Eastwood
in that movie,
because that's just fucking man. I mean,
because, like, not only does he rape her until she likes it, but he rapes her to teach her a lesson. It's like, I'll teach you to fucking insult me in the middle of the street where other men can fucking hear it.
Yeah.
And he takes her, literally just rips her clothes off. And somehow gets hard, I would imagine, in the process, because it's only like a 2-minute scene.
Yeah,
But by the end, she's moaning, grabbing his back, and
good, probably
the best rape scene in a movie aside from Irreversible.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Irreversible's tops by far. I mean, if there's a better rape scene, it's just in a movie that no one can really get a hold of.
Yeah, it's, you know, so, yeah.
It is horrific.
Okay, so anyway, back to the story at hand about saying something fucked up to someone. Okay, so...
I think I remember this.
Yeah, so, okay, so... The whole time that I'm there, I'm, like, really uncomfortable with the fact that I've got to work on these scenes, because that's the thing, too, is I got to be at the monitor, like, making sure that all of these scenes cut together properly. And so there's these, like, really, you know, these rape scenes that...
Script supervisor's riding shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting next to the director giving him notes saying, you know, this is where it's heading, you know, making sure that he's cool with the creative flow. Well... I just wasn't really down with being in the room while a simulated rape scene was taking place. Call me a prude. That's just how I roll.
Let's call you fucking gay.
Yeah, that's fine too. I'm really okay with that. Well,
prude.
I ended up talking to the line producer about it, saying, "Hey, I have this concern. You know, I realize that I have a job to do here, but I'm also kind of uncomfortable with it." First of all, she looks at me and says, "Really? You use more profanity than anybody on set. You're offended by something?" That was its own thing. That was kind of funny.
That's funny.
But, she agreed. She said, "Okay, well, that's cool. What if we just make sure we set up the monitor, in another room? So you're still gonna have to watch it taking place, but you're detached from it. You know, it'll be, you know, you're not actually in the room while it's taking place."
Right.
And, you know, it's like, that was about the best compromise I was gonna get. So I was like, "Okay, cool. Thank you. Appreciate it." So, you know, I did it. It was cool. Well, then it kind of got out amongst the crew that I wasn't real down with it. More specifically, the Grips, who are the construction workers of the film world.
They're totally... Grips are the Teamsters of the filmmaker
world.
Yeah,
they just
like...
All they want to do is fuck. I mean, that's just really what they're down for at any given moment. And, yeah. So, it's kind of getting a little bit of ridicule for that. Whatever. It's cool. But there was this girl...
This is the weirdest thing to make fun of somebody. You didn't want to use somebody to get raped. Fucking queer.
Well, there was a girl on set, the makeup girl, named Angie.
A little slice of heaven.
She was a nice enough girl, I suppose, but kind of promiscuous. A little bit promiscuous. I was not a huge fan of her, because, as we established earlier, I kind of hate whores. and by whores, I, of course, mean, you know, women.
Women. In general.
That's not true.
You got a vagina.
Well, she ended up finding out that I found this uncomfortable. She thought it was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And took every opportunity to make fun of me for it. Well, later on, they had a cast of an extra for Dead Girl Number 3, who ended up dropping out, for some reason or another.
So they
asked Angie to do it. The only stipulation was, however, that Dead Girl Number 3 happened to have to be naked. Why? Not entirely sure to this day.
Because it's a horror movie and she had tits.
Yeah, well, I believe Angie's exact words were, "I spent $3,000 on these breasts, and I plan on showing the world." She was high class, as you can tell. Well, she thought that it was great that I was going to have to watch this because she knew how uncomfortable I was. She thought that it was fucking hilarious.
Oh, I do remember this now.
She took every opportunity to just be very uncomfortable about it. Like, just, it was always, like, really intangible things, like, make certain eye contact or certain... Again, it was very, very vague.
Did she just stare down the camera lens because she knew you were looking at the monitor?
That happened too. Yeah. She made it like a kissing motion into the camera.
Well, what was the bit? She was gonna do a certain thing. You remember that? You were talking about that?
No.
She was gonna do something while she was topless.
Oh, she was going. Oh yeah, she was going to lick her breast. She mentioned that, and then in front of a lot of people. Made, like, another, again, a very vague reference to what was going on, because not everybody knew that I was so uncomfortable. And, she just, again, it comes back to her just thinking it's very, very funny.
Right.
Well, I got frustrated with it, and she did something in front of everyone, and I just said, I was like, I don't give a fuck, you can, if you want to make an object of yourself on film, you just go right ahead, but don't badger me into whatever the fuck you want to do. I just, like, ripped her apart. It was very quick. And everybody's just jaw-dropped. And I ended up, like, everyone was kind of pissed at me. Like, they were pissed that I was mean to Angie, the makeup girl, that was excited about, you know, showing her fucking breasts on in a shitty horror movie. It was retarded. So, yeah, that was, I think that's the only time that I can think of right now. I mean, I'm sure that I've been shitty to people a lot. But, that was one that I ended up feeling a little bad about later.
Because it's like, it probably does. I mean, it's not as bad as calling someone a disease-ridden cunt.
That's true.
But just for the terminology, but literally saying to someone, you're going to be, you might as well just be like a piece of,
yeah.
Like a lamb shank.
Yeah, I really drove it home that
you're not
going to
be here for your acting ability. You are simply for like, this is the, your scene will be the one that guys will put on a loop in their mother's basement and try to tug one out to.
Yeah, exactly. And,
that's fun.
Yeah, so. Yeah, fuck her.
So,
that's
really important. Do you have any friends, like, friends right now, or acquaintances, I guess, our age that are pregnant?
No.
Okay. I wasn't trying to lead you anywhere with that. It was
just
a question.
No, I was trying to, yeah.
I do. There's a friend that I had a fucker in Oregon, was pregnant. She's my age, 23. Uh-huh. Married and pregnant for the second time, which is
right.
Whatever, right on.
Cool. Halfway in there. We need more. But okay. Yeah.
And it just occurred to me, and I think I might have said this to you before. How odd it is. Little social, the things that would be socially awkward for me, but don't seem to be socially awkward for anybody else. Like I would have a problem with. Like I don't have a problem in particular being a father. I don't think I'm ready yet. I don't have any money. I don't have anyone who. Wants me to knock them up, so that's like a little issue.
Yeah, if you find someone that wants them to knock, that wants you to knock them up, you set that gem.
That is a rad chick, dude. She grabs you by the back of the head, fucking knock me up.
That's the worst thought in the world. Jesus Christ.
There's two, you've watched The Office, right? The UK version?
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant are fucking geniuses, but two of my new favorite sexual euphemisms have come from The Office and their new show Extras. If you haven't fucking seen Extras, get out and do it. If you have HBO, shame on you, because that's what it airs on in the US. But they actually got, there's an episode where Kate Winslet is talking about sex talk on the phone, like having like phone sex. And she says that, because one of the characters in the show is nervous about doing it, she said you gotta start it off cute. And something, and then she kind of progresses. This is my favorite euphemism. Like, it replaces cock to me, because cock is my go-to for a penis.
Obviously.
But it takes too long to say.
Cock takes too long to say?
No, this one. Oh, cock is easier to say. This one, my new favorite, is too long to say. Purple-headed womb ferret.
I don't like it.
They got four-time Academy Award nominated Kate Winslet. Referred to a penis as a purple-headed womb ferret.
That's special.
The other one is the Christmas special of The Office, the last like two-hour two-parter. they establish in the Christmas episode that there's a chick there who's pregnant and working in the office, and she's always talking about her fucking baby, this and that, you know, I'm pregnant or not. Or women in general. Yeah. Talking about shit that nobody gives a fuck about. But
right. Unlike us. Unlike right us, now,
this is important shit. Change in the world. Yeah. Leaps and bounds. Waiting for that call from Jesse Jackson. But at a certain point, she's going on and on and on about her kid. Somebody's smoking at a party, and she does that phony cough bullshit that I can't stand. It's like not a real to get you to, like, hey, put out your cigarette. But she says to the dude, when you put out your cigarette, I'm pregnant, and he just goes, so? And then, you know, they kind of continue this for a while. I don't remember exactly what the dialogue is, and I'm not doing a British accent. But he says, just because you got some fella to blow his beans up your muff doesn't mean everyone should care as much as you do.
I don't like that genius. Either. I don't. That's just because I don't like sexual euphemism.
Blow his beans?
Yeah.
That's very British.
Yeah, that's, you're right.
Blow
his
beans up your muff. I'm a fan of that. Anywho, so this friend of mine is pregnant for the second time, and it just seems to me that it would be a socially awkward moment for the husband, or it doesn't necessarily have to be the husband, whoever the father is. If the father's going to be in the woman's life and in the children's life, at a certain point you're going to have to go to the pregnant woman's parents to make the announcement. And that is just a weird moment to me. It's always shown as like, oh, congratulations, you're fucking pregnant. If I'm a dad and it's my daughter, what you're not saying to me, my daughter's pregnant. What you're saying to me is, we've been fucking a lot, and I've been blowing some fat loads, condom free, and this is the result.
Yeah, I
socially
mean,
awkward.
I imagine it is easier if you're married, because I mean it's tight.
I would imagine. I mean, that's, social that's ills, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
Like, you have to expect that. Like, once they're married, like, you can't really be like a no fucking.
Yeah.
But even still. Like, translation. This is a scene. This is so lame. There's a scene in Father of the Bride Part 2.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
When they announce it, and Steve Martin stands up, he looks at the son-in-law, and then, like, it flashes to his fantasy, and the guy's wearing, like, a smoking jacket, sipping on a martini, and he's got the thin mustache, and he does the evil laugh. That's essentially it.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine it's hard. Yeah, I mean, because, like, I'm trying to think, like, you know, it can't be. I mean, the other way, you know, it, as far as, like, the man is concerned, that can't be difficult with the whole family thing. I can't imagine.
Oh, like, if I got someone pregnant and went to tell my folks?
Yeah.
No.
Like, that's not a big
neither thing. Of my parents would be like, it, like, oh.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, her parents.
Yeah.
Violating my daughter.
Well,
and it would be.
That's why I only,
violation.
I'd only, violate girls without parents. Like, orphans. And
Christians. Because, like, I want the excuse to kill a woman. And, you know, if one of those gets pregnant, it stays pregnant.
Nice.
Oh, I still left from Job. That's development.
Yeah, I know.
That's fun, though.
Yeah.
It stays pregnant.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
It's either the baby or you and the baby. Doesn't really matter to me, sister.
That's a I said that, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm fan of that. Well, that's fucked up. That's a fucked up shit.
You or the baby, or you and the baby. It really doesn't matter to me. I happen to have the $400, so let's go do this.
Yeah.
What was the other thing I said? Oh, if I get married, I was going to say when. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I get married, I'm going to introduce my wife as my first wife.
Absolutely, while she's still your wife.
While she's still my wife.
Yeah.
And I've never been previously married.
Yeah.
So, that's better than the old ball and chain.
I love it.
That is just a kick in the, well, I was going to say balls, but
yeah,
kick in the twat. You're a fan of twat?
Not
what is
really.
Your favorite? You
shut up! I don't want to talk about this because you know that it makes me uncomfortable. Sexual euphemisms in general just don't make me very happy.
They're so much fun though.
You're wrong.
Kate Winslet makes different.
Yeah. Well,
there's no good way to come back from that because it makes absolutely no sense. It's like, oh, Kate Winslet taking a page out of her book now.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, this.
He's naked way too much in Little Children. More than I expected. That came out of left field. She's done some nudity in the past, but.
Well, can you name a movie that really hasn't had any?
It's Eternal Sunshine?
But she's fucking a lot in that movie. Like,
never fucking on screen.
Not on screen, but she's a. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What was that? Okay, huh. She was pretty promiscuous in that, though. Like, I mean, it was definitely commented that she's either naked or a whore, basically, you know, damaged in some way. I don't
damaged goods?
Always. Always.
Bacon bits.
I don't like that.
Down below, that's a, that was Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence did an entire, he did about 25 minutes in, what was his famous, like his big fucking special. I can't remember the title. But he did an entire, like, it was like 25, I mean, if it was a, it was on vinyl, it would be one side of an entire album. Mm-hmm. About, like, how women in general are not washing their asses properly anymore. And you would have to imagine that meant that he fucked a lot of time. Don't you think?
He's a class act.
Because if it's just one, I mean, that wouldn't be a social commentary. It was just like one, like his woman, like, if that's your girlfriend or wife, you're just like, look, seriously, it's getting bad. I just can't take it anymore. But if it's, I mean, the permeation of foul-smelling women.
I'm glad that we're talking about this right now.
Well, I'm just
throwing it out there. I'm not gonna contribute really. You know that, right?
If you know me at all, you know I can go on for hours like this just by myself.
I imagine you do by yourself quite frequently.
Well, actually, no. There has to be somebody in the room. I don't really care if they partake.
I'm not gonna contribute to this conversation. So
let's veer off. What do you want to talk about?
I'm boring.
Well, I think that's a good place then to end the very first Bastard Sons of Cusack podcast. I don't know. I think we accomplished a lot.
I
think we changed the world.
We definitely did what we set out to accomplish.
Right.
So, awesome.
All right.
Moving on, we'll be back next week.
Next week. See you later.
Bye.
Free the West Memphis 3. The Navy Company.